And we just praise the Lord for tonight. This is Monday night, and the week is going to go fast. And maybe you don't think so, but it will go fast. I want you to turn your Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter 27. And while you're turning in your Bible, the pictures tomorrow night will continue from Jericho and go north, still in the Jordan Valley. And we'll go up next to the Syrian border near Damascus, and then near the Lebanese border to the north tomorrow night. But I'm glad you're here. I'm glad that brother and sister Teasdale are here tonight, and Donna, and that they're here. I was just there last week, preached every night last week, and preached in school every day, and to think they came back tonight once again. And as I was sitting here, I was thinking of a story, and I'm not much for telling stories, actually, but I want to tell this tonight about a preacher. Wherever he would go and preach, he would look out and see a couple there to hear him preach. And one night he was way up in the mountains, and he wondered whether anybody would come. And finally, in walked this couple. They walked, regardless of the distance or the storm, in walked they come. And he asked them, he said, "How come wherever I go, you're always there, you're always there?" And that dear couple looked at the preacher and said, "We understand that every preacher has one good message, and we want to be present when he preaches it." I know that's not true of the Teasdales. We've known them many, many years. And in fact, we were at their wedding, and we love them dearly. They're dear saints of God. But Matthew chapter 27 tonight, I want to begin reading with verse number 45. Matthew 27, beginning with verse 45. "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, This man called for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. And the rest said, Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were truly done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly this was the Son of God. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him." Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, what a great blessing to be here tonight. We just want to give praise and honor and glory to thee. The great song service, the special music, the special number that we just heard. Lord, it just prepares our hearts for the message. And Lord, you've given us ears to hear and hearts to understand the wonderful word of God. So challenge us tonight, and we'll give you the praise, for we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder tonight, do you believe in miracles? I believe in miracles. And I'm not too sure too many people today actually believe in miracles, but I'm thrilled to know and believe in a supernatural God who is almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful, and who loves me and loves the world. What a God. I think of that song entitled, It Took a Miracle. And the words of one of the verses of that song go this way. My Father is omnipotent, and that you can't deny. A God of might and miracles, 'tis written in the sky. Though here his glory has been shown, we still can't fully see the wonders of his might at his throne. 'Twill take eternity. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. And it's that last phrase that I want to highlight in this message, the miracle of love and grace. I want to take you tonight to Calvary. I want to take you to that rocky knoll just to the edge of the city of Jerusalem, located by a bus station. So when the buses all come into Jerusalem, they can look up and see that rocky place called Calvary. It looks like the place of the skull. And the Bible said right next to Calvary, there's a garden. And that's true today. Wonderful garden that's operated, owned and operated by born-again Christians from England. But it's a tremendous place, the rocky knoll called Calvary today. And I want to take you to that place tonight. And as I take you to that place, I want you to remind you of the Savior who walked that distance from Pilate's judgment hall, some of the way bearing a cross. Bearing a cross. And when they reached the top of that place called Calvary, they stripped him of his clothes. They had prepared there a cross, and they took the Lord Jesus, stretched out his hands, and drove nails in his hands. Drove nails in his feet. They lifted the cross and dropped it in a hole and probably piled some rocks or stones around it so it would stay upright. And all the time that they were driving the nails in, Jesus kept saying, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them, because they know not what they're doing. And they didn't know what they were doing. They were commanded to do it, of course, by those that hated the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as I think of that tremendous place called Calvary, there are three groups of people that are identified. They're at the cross. You'll find yourself in one of those groups. And as we look at the miracles that took place at Calvary, the first group that we read that was there, you can read about it in Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 33. And they came unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull. And they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, parting his raiments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture they did cast lots. Now listen to this next verse now, because this identifies a group that's gathered at Calvary. And sitting down, they watched him there. You see, the news had evidently gone out that three individuals were going to be crucified. They're on three crosses. And one of those individuals was the Lord Jesus, the man who called himself Jesus. So a large crowd gathered. And they gathered around sort of like the around the edge of that place. And they were sitting there watching. They watched everything that took place there on top of Calvary. They were just sitting watching. Now tonight, you may be in that group. Just sitting, just watching. And as they sat there watching, listen to some of the miracles that took place while they watched. Number one, there was the miracle of supernatural darkness. And in verse 45, in the scripture that I read, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. Now probably God realized this crowd was sitting there watching, big eyes, mouth open, watching the crucifixion. And so God allowed darkness to come from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. Black as it could be, so that crowd could not see the cross. They could not see the Savior. What a scene. Darkness. Darkness from noon until mid-afternoon. I think of this songwriter that wrote these words, well might the sun of darkness hide and shut his glories in when Christ the mighty maker died our sin, for man, the creature's sin. But during that darkness, the Lord Jesus tasted of all the pangs of judgment and of hell for you and for me and for the world. In the midst of that darkness. Oh, listen. In that darkness, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And there on the cross, he was forsaken from the one that he prayed earlier in the garden. He said, my Father, if it be possible, remove this cup from me. And here, he did not say, my Father. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the reason he cried that, he became on that cross the altar, the Lamb of God, slain for your sin and mine. My, what a Savior. And the crowd watched. The crowd watched. The crowd could hear him as he cried those words. What a miracle. The miracle of supernatural darkness. The second miracle has to do with a rent veil. Now, I stood on top, and you could look across, and you could see the temple area where it was. Now, there's a highway that's cut between, but at one time, that was just one straight area, and so they could stand on top there and look towards the temple. I realized they couldn't see inside the temple, but I think maybe they could hear it. Because the Bible says in verse number 51, it says that, behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. The veil of the temple. Now listen, that veil, of course, was a tremendous size. The temple itself was 90 feet long, 30 feet wide, and 70 feet high. The sanctuary was divided into two parts. The holy place, which was 60 feet, where the altar of incense and several items were placed. And Josephus, who's written concerning that time of Christ, and if you get a chance to read anything about Josephus, he tells us that that veil was so thick, it would take many oxen to pull it apart. And yet, as Jesus hung on that cross, that veil started to tear from the top to the bottom. It opened up. My, the miracle of that rent veil. Now, what did that mean? Listen, the rent veil was torn in and between. Why? Because the dispensation of the law came to an end. It was rent from the top to the bottom because no Christian needs to be judged concerning the law or holy days or the Sabbath, which are simply a shadow of things to come. The barrier between God and man was removed. The priesthood was dismissed. And no longer was it necessary for the high priest to go beyond that veil and offer the blood sacrifice. No, Jesus hung on that cross as the sacrifice for our sin. So the veil was rent in twain. It's no wonder, the Bible says, many priests believed on him. Why? Because they heard the veil. They saw the veil. It was rent in twain. Now, another miracle that took place there is the miracle of the earthquake. Now, as they sat there watching, I mean, the Bible says in verse 51, again, the earth did quake and the rocks rent. God began to shake that place called Calvary, and the rocks began to quake and rent. Now, that speaks of God's judgment upon His Son. Oh, you read in the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 19, of course, concerning Mount Sinai and concerning the lightning and the earthquake, and God told the children of Israel they could not approach only to a certain place, to that mount. And here, as that crowd sat there and watched, the earth began to shake and tremble as they watched as God poured out judgment upon His Son. Then another miracle that took place was the miracle of fulfilled prophecy. The miracle of fulfilled prophecy. You can turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John at the 19th chapter and read about this miracle. In fact, you'll find it elsewhere as well. But in the 9th chapter, beginning with verse 23, it says that, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier part, and also his coat. Now the coats without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now get the picture again now. You see, they stripped him of his clothes. They stripped the thieves of their clothes. There's not one reference here concerning the clothes of the thieves. But the clothes of the Savior were dropped in a pile, and the Bible simply says that the soldiers, after they had nailed him to the cross, went over to that pile of clothes, and the Bible says every soldier received a part. Each one picked up a part of the garment that was on the person of Christ. Now, notice what it says here in the scripture, which is interesting to me, and you can search this out if you want to, but it says, they said therefore among them, let's not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Did they know the scripture? Did they know the scripture? Well, I do not think they did. But the Bible says, they said, let's not tear it apart. Let's cast lots for it, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And so each one got part of the garment that Jesus had on his body, and the crowd sit there and watched. They watched that miracle of the fulfillment of prophecy. Then the fifth miracle is the miracle of the conversion of the centurion. And it's thrilling. You go to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, and we see here in the 23rd chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and verse number 47, we read this. And when Jesus cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now, when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. Now notice the confession that he made. Here the crowd is watching. They're watching. In the midst of the darkness, in the midst of of Christ saying from the cross, those words that he uttered from the cross, in the midst of the earthquake, they were sitting. In the midst of fulfilled prophecy where they're sitting. And then, one of the soldiers, one of the centurions, when he saw what was done, while the crowd watched, when he saw what was done, he glorified God. He glorified God. And he said, certainly this was a righteous man. Now it's interesting, you look at that. In order for us to be saved, you've got to realize who God is. You must acknowledge the fact that Jesus is a righteous man, the Son of God. And here the centurion, while the crowd watched, he got up. Probably the one that had part in nailing Jesus to the cross. I like to believe it was the soldier that got the robe when they cast lots for it. But he went back to the cross and he stood there in front of that cross, or knelt in front of that cross, and he saw what was done and he glorified God, and with his mouth he confessed, truly this was a righteous man. Now, dear friends, tonight, all of this took place and much more as they watched, as they sat there watching. Now, dear friend, I say it kindly tonight. There are many, 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 many dear folk in our world that know everything that I've just said, but they're just watching. They're just watching. I was baptized a baby. We went through a course of confirmation. I've studied, I suppose, several times Luther's Small Catechism. And everything in Luther's Small Catechism is exactly what I just said tonight. But sitting down, they're just watching. They're just watching. And sitting down and watching and knowing what took place at Calvary will never, never, never save your soul. You've got to do something about it. And the centurion did something about it. He received the Lord and glorified the Lord. Now, dear friend, it's so easy for us to go to church, this church or other church, and we sit there and we hear it, we sit there and hear it, we sit there and hear it, we sit there, but we do not do anything about it. Sitting down, they watched him there, lost, on the road to hell. And you may be here tonight. You may be the nicest person in the world. You may be the kindest person in the world. You may be here tonight. You've been baptized by sprinkling or baptized by immersion. You may be here tonight, a member of this church or some other church. You may be all of that. But sitting down, knowing all those things, will never save your soul. You've got to get up from that position of sitting in your complacency and receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior and Lord, and be born again by the Spirit of God. Amen. Wow, that's the thrill of it. I was told that I was a Christian because I'd been baptized. I was told that we're Christians because we believed what the church taught. What the church taught. And we thought we were saved. But I found out in a tent meeting, as I heard the preacher preach, that I was not saved. I was a sinner, a wicked sinner. Everybody knew the Sanders were terrible, terrible sinners. And that night, when I heard the invitation, and the invitation was given, I slipped off of that wooden plank, and I came and got on my knees. And there, from the sitting down position, I accepted the Lord Jesus and was born again. And I ask you, dear friends, tonight, are you in that group sitting at Calvary? You've never received the finished work of the cross. You've never accepted Him as your personal Lord and Savior. Now, there's another group there. There's another group. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27, and I close with reading this verse. Matthew chapter 27, and we read this, verse 55. And many women were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto Him. Now the third group that was there, it says many women were there. Now I'm not picking on the women tonight, because the men were there too. The men were there too. Now the Bible talks about the women, women that used to minister to Christ. Why didn't they minister to Him there? Peter was the vocal one. He was the vocal one. The disciples that were followers of Jesus. When Jesus said, I thirst, why didn't they give Him a drink? Why didn't one person there at Calvary, not one person, stand up and say, He's innocent! He's innocent! He's innocent! Not one. There was a group there that used to follow the Lord, but at Calvary, they're following afar off. I see Christians like that. I see Christians that say, I used to go to that church, but I don't go anymore. And I say, why not? Oh, I don't like the preacher. I don't like so-and-so. And they get all upset about somebody. And individuals say, I used to teach a Sunday school class. I used to work on the buses. I mean, I used to be faithful. I used to be a deacon. I used to. But I don't anymore. Why? They're following afar off. They're in the shadows. And dear folk, those folk need to slip out of that, off that pew, and come and get on their knees at an altar and look up at the Savior who paid the price on that cross for them, that they might be redeemed with the precious blood of Christ and be forgiven. Following afar off. And I ask you tonight, are you in that crowd? Are you following afar off? You used to minister, but you're not doing it anymore? Now there's a third group. A third group there. You read about it in John chapter 19. John chapter 19 and verse number 25. And a great, great picture here of a third group at Calvary. And we read this, verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus His mother and His mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas and Mary Magdalene. So standing by the cross, as the crowd watched, as they watched, as individuals were standing in the shadow that used to minister, there by the cross, the Bible said, there stood His mother, His mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. Verse 26, when Jesus therefore saw His mother and the disciples standing by, whom He loved, He saith unto His mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith He to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own house. Now the disciple that it's talking about there is John. John was standing there by the cross. When the crowd watched. When the crowd cried out, Crucify Him. When the crowd railed upon Him. When they stripped Him of His clothes and blood running down His face and down His arm, the crowd simply watched, and a group back in the shadows were watching that used to follow the Lord. But standing by the cross was these dear women and John. And John turned to that woman and said to that woman and to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own house. John became obedient to the voice of the Master when Jesus was dying. Oh, what a tremendous, tremendous picture of Calvary. But I'm concerned. Are you sitting? You standing afar off? Or are you standing by the cross? You know, it's so easy for people to get upset. I think of being in Michigan in a meeting, and there was a dear couple in that church that pleaded with their neighbor to come to church. The neighbor said, "I'm not interested in that church. I know that. I've heard that stuff. I'm not interested in coming." Someone gave her a Bible, and she took the Bible and tore the pages out, threw them on the floor, and stomped on them. But that dear couple in that large church there in Michigan kept after her in love and said, "Please, won't you come? Please, won't you come? Please, won't you come?" And she said, "All right, I'll come once to get you off my back." They brought her in that big auditorium and put her right next to the aisle. And she sat there. She sat there listening to me preach. And she sat there with her arms crossed like this. And when I raised my voice, she'd come down like that and grunt. She made faces at me. She did not want to be there. But during that message, I tried to present the message of the cross, that Jesus died on that cross of Calvary, shed his precious blood that she might be saved, that they might be. I don't know a thing about people when they come and the preachers don't tell me a thing. And when I gave the invitation, I saw the arms unclasp. I saw her hand go up. And I gave the invitation. That dear lady stepped out and walked down the aisle, got on her knees that night. The same lady that tore up the Bible, the same lady that was just sitting there watching. She knew everything. But that night, she came to the foot of the cross and got saved. That's what it's all about. And in light of the miracles of Calvary, don't just sit there. Do something. In light of the miracles of Calvary, don't just fall in the shadows. No, no. In light of the miracles of Calvary, stand by the cross, come what may, and listen to the words of the Master. Follow me. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not come back to you. But I'm so concerned. It's so easy, so easy, so easy for us to just sit there and listen and not do anything about it. It's so easy. The old devil makes us indifferent and our hearts get cold. And we understand these things, but we've never been born again. We've never been changed. And tonight, dear friends, are you in that sitting group? You understand these things, but tonight you need to do something about it. You need to get up and receive the Savior. Be born again by the Spirit of God. Jesus died on the cross and shed his precious blood that we might be saved. He came forth from the grave victorious that we might be saved. And as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, how many of you wonderful folk, you look in your heart, say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved. There's no question about my salvation. I've been born again." If you not know that for sure tonight and you're not ashamed of it, slip your hand up right now. Just slip up high. "Yes, I know. Yes, I know. God bless you. That's wonderful." Put your hands down. Perhaps you're here tonight and you didn't raise your hand. You're just sitting there. Wouldn't you like to do something tonight? Wouldn't you like to come to Calvary and get saved? Wouldn't you like to come to the cross? Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest." Wouldn't you like to know that your sins are forgiven? Wouldn't you like to know that when death comes to you, you'll be in heaven instead of hell? And as heads are bowed, you slip your hand up and say, "Yes, pray for me. Pray for me. I'll do just that." Slip your hand up right now. "Yes, I'm not sure I'm saved. Yes, I've been just sitting there. But tonight I want to do something about it. Would you let me pray for you? As heads are bowed, eyes are closed, is there a Christian here tonight and you say, I've been following afar off. There's some steps of obedience I need to take. There's some victories I need to claim. There's some sins I need to confess. God spoke to me tonight. Would you pray for me? And you'll slip your hands up. I see those hands. I see them. God bless you. I've been following afar off. I don't know what it is, but you know what it is. And God spoke to your heart tonight. Someone else, just slip your hand up to the Savior. I see those hands. God bless you. Heavenly Father, speak to us tonight. I'm thankful you love us. I'm thankful, Lord, that the Spirit of God speaks to our heart. And as He speaks to us, we can say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I pray as we sing an invitation song, Christians that raise their hand, that have been following afar off, there's some decisions they need to make. We'll slip out and come down this aisle. Come to the foot of the cross once again and say, Lord, forgive me. And claim the victory. I pray, Lord, if there's someone here tonight that's not saved, Lord, would you give them the courage to come? Not to reject Christ, but to slip out and come. Give them the courage to do it tonight. And we'll praise you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and sing that great song, Just As I Am. What page is it? 200? 249. And if the Spirit of God spoke to your heart tonight, just come.